Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Yeah, up and down, whatever. We flew, yes. Whatever direction that means. We took the scenic route. We like to apparently wait 2 hours on the road, leaving our... So, but anyway, you know, us as Americans, we like to complain. We're delayed. Our host home is going to be worried. She'll be calling, you know. We're going to have to call her and, you know, and tell her the bad news. We got delayed. And the Lord just, like, convicted me. And he said, you do know that the delay is for a reason. And it's like, I almost started to complain. You understand? And thank God for the Holy Spirit, you know, that pierces us. And so then we began to pray. And what it was a tanker had exploded. So I don't know how bad it was, but by the look of that wreck, and, you know, 2 hours later when we're seeing it, it had burnt. It was pushed off the side of the road, probably by a big wrecker, you know, or something. And who knows what fatalities for anything. But just to remind you, you know, we get on a schedule and we get busy and we get... And there's major things going on around us that we could be participating in. And so I'm thankful for that Holy Spirit and for that conviction that really just, you know, puts you in the place that he needs to keep you. Today we're going to be talking on you are uniquely gifted. Oh, yeah. You know what? I would feel more comfortable down here. So, sorry, we had other things going this morning. I got pulled back, and I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be up here or down there. I tried bringing my stuff up here. We got a video that I made. Now they're coming up with apps on your iPhones and on your iPad and all that stuff, and even my generation can do stuff. So I made this video that I want you to see, and I'm going to start out with this. This is called The Creator of the Universe Loves You, and You are uniquely gifted. He needs to impound that into each and every one of us. How uniquely gifted, and how he dreamt of you even before you were born, and how he's packaged you as a present for today. Not down the road, not way in the future. And it doesn't matter about your past, and it doesn't matter what went wrong, and it doesn't matter. He's packaged you right now, right here, to be in this place, in this time, so you could be breaking out into what he wants you to be. Because, see, the spirit of doubt comes on us, everybody. When she was talking about the spirit of doubt, that spirit of doubt, and the reason why it says don't doubt is because it's really a spirit. We can't listen to that spirit. We've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. That spirit of doubt comes to tell us what we did wrong and to tell us what we aren't, to keep us from the person who can tell us who we are and who he wants to flow through. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what today is all about, really breaking in to the differences and the beauty in each and every one of us, because all of us are gifted. Every one of us carry the attributes of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to get in that place where we find what we love, love what we do. And that's the way it is. It's that way in work. It's that way in the spirit. It's that way. There's certain order. There's certain fashions that just flow. And there's personalities. Thank God we live in this world. We understand the differences of the personalities. I mean, you know, half the time when I hear people complain about church, or they're not doing it the way I would do it, and or they should do it this way, or they should do it that way. And I just want to remind them, you know, mercy, because different personalities run things different. And so that you want to give grace and mercy and prefer one another, understanding that we all don't think alike. We all don't act alike. Hello, how old were you when you realized that you weren't like the other children, you know? So anyway, we're different. But the beauty of it is the differences are wonderful, really, when we embrace them. That is what he had in mind from the very beginning, from the very beginning. So anyway, I made this video from a little program, an app that I downloaded. It's called Videorama, and I gathered a lot of the pictures from our space shuttle, you know, out there taking pictures of the galaxy and, you know, took some of those. And then you'll see some of my grandchildren on there that I could rope them in for models. I put the words on there. And then what Tim is going to do, we're going to run it through and play it, and then we're going to run it back, and I'm going to speak on segments, okay? So if it flows that way, and if it flows another way, that's fine as well. So it's all good. This is the creator of the universe loves you. Oh, it's knocking off the words. He thought of you and dreamed of you before any part of you was made. He made you in the secret place. He formed you in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows that full well. You are created in His image. His. And you are uniquely gifted. For in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if you have been given the ability to prophesy, then speak it out with as much faith as God has given you. And if your gift is administration and service, then serve well. If it is teaching, teach well. If it is encouraging others, well then be encouraging. Flow in it. If it is imparting or giving, then give generously. And if you're a leader, then lead diligently. And if it's in serving, then serve others. I can't read that. Well. Because you are uniquely gifted. That's my grandson, by the way. You, both of them, all of these little ones, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And by the way, that love thy neighbor thingy, I'm in it. Basically, none of the gifts work without that last one. He has packaged such a present inside each one of you that is so amazing. But honestly, if you sit on it, you won't develop it. You won't develop. So what I want to go down through is your destiny. I will talk about that. I will talk about the spiritual gifts. But I want to read a segment that God gave me when I was praying earlier this year. When she first gave me this title, the Lord just flowed. And this is what He gave me. The gifts that the Spirit of God has placed within you are measurable, yet expanding, just like the universe. They may become stifled by entitlement or decrease with neglect, but rest assured they are pure in quality. They are extravagant in His expression. The gifts are awakened by recognizing His presence in you. The gifts are awakened by recognizing His presence in you. The Spirit requires a response, and He's requiring one from you this morning. The gifts flourish in favor. They are enhanced with emotion. Anybody that says that your giftings won't, if you're being too emotional, I want to tell you that's not true, because when God hits the scenes, it touches every part of your being. And you better believe it hits your emotions. And if it hasn't hit your emotions, men, I'm going to pray that God release the secret weapon of estrogen within you, because, you know, because you need to feel that as well. And as you get older, you will understand, right? Because it develops naturally in our system. And so we begin to chemically even produce it more, men do. But anyway, you do. It will hit your emotions. So going back to this, the gifts flourish in favor. They're enhanced with emotion, and they may become offensive to the self-righteous. Don't ever let that shake you up. I don't have printed out notes this time. I apologize. If there is a printer, I can print. Yes, I have. I've got 12 pages of notes probably in each session that I've done, and everyone's different. So how many do you want, honey? We'll do today. We'll do today. Yeah, right, exactly. That's the way the Lord does it. He prepackages it for the people. It's like you guys bring out the anointing in me. You know, so I never know really how this is going to go until I get down here. And then he changes it all up. And so, yes, we'll give you today's note. I'll try to get it printed out. We have a lovely host home. You know, Debbie is our host home, Thurman. If you don't know her, she is precious. She is precious. I'd say probably the best hostess and host that we've ever had, her and Walt. They have just been super amazing. And we've had good ones. We've had the Ritzes before, but we are in the Ritz now. And it's the Ritz with the heart and the love and the flowing, and she flows in the gift hospitality and serving, and we're going to be talking about that. But amazing, amazing. So they're awakened by recognizing his presence. The Spirit requires a response. The gifts flourish in favor. They're enhanced with emotion, and they may become offensive to the self-righteous, yet they overwhelmingly encourage the humble. Overwhelmingly encourage the humble. So if you're not accepted, just know you're probably not dealing with a humble spirit. Move on. You know, it's okay. You don't have to take it personal. You don't. The gifts relinquish our vanity. The gifts relinquish our vanity to celebrate the beauty that generates hunger to inspire others. The spiritual gifts in action are the tasting of his goodness and the harmony of community. I like to use the word community because it's common unity. You break it down. It's very simple. When it becomes common unity, then you understand it. Reaching out with compassion, the gifts testify of his wisdom, seeing beyond what is. He is the one that speaks things that are not as though they are. And so therefore, when it comes to the New Testament and the Holy Spirit working within you, then you can also speak things that are not as though they are. And he leads you and guides you to it, because Nancy just quoted the verse that I was going to take you to, but there's no need because she already had you there. It was the one where Jesus is speaking to the fig tree. If you believe, you can say to this, be removed, get out of my way. So that is the Spirit of God, that birth, you know, that fresh that is in you. Reaching out with compassion, they testify of his wisdom, seeing beyond what is. They look past what is familiar, opening our hearts to unearth his hidden glory. Opening our hearts to unearth his hidden glory. And I would like to just pull out a couple scriptures. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. I'm going to briefly mention these. You don't have to write it down. You've all heard it. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God, the Father over all, who is in all and living through all. This is revelational in itself, because we've been taught that God is only in Christians. I went through a series of dreams to where the Lord had to rearrange my theology of Christianity to teach me that I am in everybody. And so if we take the attitude that God is only in Christians, you understand what I'm saying? He created everybody in his image, see? So there is a part of him that you can see beautiful in everybody. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how you bring out the beauty in people instead of pointing out their faults. Christian, non-Christian, it doesn't matter. God is there. He has made that child. And you can improve on what they have already placed within them as a present. So I wanted to bring that point out. I also would like to stop at 1 Peter 4:10, where God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. I personally have found listed, I don't know, it was in the 30s. It's in another page of notes that I taught prior to this. But, you know, that was already in the Bible that's listed out. Some of us say there's nine. Some of us say there's 20-some, but there's many. And there's many that aren't in the Bible, I'll just tell you. You know, it's not also in the written word because he uniquely gifts us. And each one of us is gifted. So in that, also 1 Corinthians 12:7, which basically says the same thing. A spiritual gift is given. So that to each of us, why? Somebody raise their hand and say, why is the spiritual gifts given?
Why?
I'm asking. Anybody have an answer to that?
I think it enhances what he's called us to.
Yes. Yes, 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 for his glory. Yeah, edifies him, gives him a chance to witness. But the gifts are given to you, actually, for you to carry it for others. They're not really, and all your answers were correct, because they're not given to you for you. You know, you aren't given the gift of hospitality so you can just make your house wonderful and, you know, amazing and everything. You are giving your gift because it has to be in function of a group or a church or something that you can flourish in it. You can't even develop it well unless you're in a church and, you know, be in that place where you feel like you belong, where you feel like you're a part of it, where you feel like you're family, where you feel like you can help somebody else, and whatever your gifting is, you begin to mentor some of the younger ones up. If you're not mentoring people in your own gift, then I would probably get on you a little bit because you're slacking. If you're at my age, 53, and you're not mentoring people, and you don't have younger ones that you're being a spiritual mother to, Holy Spirit, I pray conviction and piercing right now just to move, because there is such gifting sitting in this room. There needs to be mentors under each and every person that is here. And you had a question.
No, I just was going to,
absolutely. And that's what it really is. Do you know even the worldly people that study social aspects and psychology and all that, the number one thing that they say that you have the need for, the worldly people I'm talking, is to belong, to find that place of communication where you connect, where you feel like you belong. But I say number one is, we have to know what our purpose is, and to know what our purpose is, we have to know the Father, because it's him that flows through us. You know, our greatest hunger is not air. Our greatest hunger is not food. Our greatest hunger is not whatever that we desire. Our greatest hunger is to communicate with the Heavenly Father. So communication is number one, but we need to know, you know, why. Why am I in existence? That takes communication through the Spirit. So the gifts are present, and the Lord really pounded me with this. Gifts are a present from God. They are the grace gifts that are given to each one of us. And this is what I want you to see. Gifts are a present, but they're given for the present. In other words, don't sit on your gifts. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The gifts are made for a now type situation. The gifts aren't made for when I develop my prophetic skills, then I'm going to travel with Nancy and do all kinds of stuff in the future. That's not how it really works, is it? No, because he starts at the level you're at. Hello, that shouldn't be a shocker to anybody. And he wants to start using you where you're at. So each and every one of your gifts are right there, already packaged, ready for you to wait, waiting for you to develop them. And he wants to flow through you at where you're at. So don't wait, don't sit, start using them and developing them. Think, I might need help. Okay. I don't ever want to, I told you I was going to talk about destiny. I don't want you to, there's this new teaching about destiny and what's purpose. And to me, what the Lord has explained to me, he said, Dee, don't ever confuse destiny with purpose. Because your destiny is heaven. Your destiny is to be with him. But your purpose is to bring heaven to earth. Your purpose is to bring heaven to earth. And it comes in different forms through each of us. When you learn how to simply be in his presence, you begin to understand how much the creator of the universe loves you. And I'm telling you, when I say release the estrogen, I really mean it. Because you need to feel it. You need to feel it to work in it. You need to know that you know that you know that there is a package within you that you can flow and move in, whether it's teaching, you know, any of the gifts that we're going to be discussing. Second of all, you need to know that you are uniquely gifted. Third of all, you need to know that you have purpose. You have purpose. You have purpose. Fourthly, you need to know that you belong. You're a part of something that is bigger than you. You need to know that you belong. Fifth, when you know that you belong, you begin to believe. It happens naturally. We think that we drum up this belief. It's God's love flowing through us and his grace and mercy flowing through us that drums up belief. It just flows. Sixth, when you believe, you begin to behave. And we've gotten this wrong in the church. In my generation, they tried to clean the fish before they even got him. You understand? They behave, not realizing that there is a spiritual order in all of this. And so the spiritual order, you cannot get out of line. You first of all have to know that God loves you. You second of all have to know that you belong to him. And third of all, you have to, then the behavior changes, okay? So then we're on number seven. And when you believe and the actions begin to fall in line, that's when you become a powerhouse for the Lord. So really, how do we get from talents? Because we all know we're born with certain talents. We all know we're born with personality. How do we get from talent to supernatural? How do we get from that? That is the secret right there. It's that line. That line. When you go through that line of knowing that you're loved, knowing that you found a place that you can belong in, and that you can move in the gifts that God's given you, and then your belief just automatically raises, because now you're in people that are bouncing off, you know, ideas and faith and building your faith and just seeing people come and be a part of it. You know, it increases the level that is already within you, and then you begin to take your actions. You begin to do what he said to do. You begin to move in it, and you're comfortable in it. And then that's how you move to the supernatural. Just by that order. You can't jump the order. It just moves into it. So say I have a gifting of painting. And I've been in the craft business for years, but I didn't know I could, what you call fine art. You know, fine art. I did starving artist work. I would paint vines and stars, and, you know, I would do lettering, and I would write, you know, big prophetic work, you know, phrases for people that they'd take home that would inspire them, they could put on their wall. I mean, we're talking, you know, 4-foot boards. That's my living. And so I did that for years, but a few years ago, the Lord wanted me to start painting. And so I began painting, and he has just broke this one little tiny gift wide open, because everywhere I go, there's this major testimony that goes with it. And I painted for the church at home, And in that was a dancer that hadn't danced for years. There was a gift within her that she hadn't used for 10 years because somebody had offended her. And she was in a church that didn't understand dance. And they wouldn't let her be able to be gifted and flow in what the Lord was teaching her and telling her that she needed. She was a Uda. Matter of fact, she's built like Uda. She's this slim, beautiful, you know, tall, slender girl. Had the, you know, the ballerina, you know, physique. So She's this beautiful person, and I'm just crying because she came up to me simply because Daddy said, paint a little girl up on the hill that's dancing in front of me all by herself because she can't dance in the church. So I painted her. She wept. She wept and she wept and she wept, and she's been coming to church ever since. And you better believe that the pastor that I'm under lets her dance. Lets her dance. So not only that, but the fruit of that, one little picture. Hubby heard the story, who wasn't a Christian, came to church and has been coming to church ever since. So that's how powerful that moving from talent to supernatural is. I thought I was painting a little picture. God said, I'm way bigger than you think. I'm way bigger than you think. Just let me use you. And you don't have to have the painting, people. You don't. But I will tell you, he will develop stuff that you don't even know you have. He can do that. Because when I'm in front of people painting, I'm thinking, how do I do that? I'm seeing this picture. What do I, how, you know, I'm not even sure how to accomplish some of the things that he's wanting me to paint. And he's like teaching me the whole time. You know, this paintbrush and, you know, whatever, because I'm relatively, you know, 3 years old in this. So I wouldn't say I'm a master by any means. I haven't went to school to study shading or perspective or, you know, any of that stuff. I just throw something on a canvas. But in that process, the Lord is now rearranging my business. He's telling me to go online, to start a YouTube, to encourage younger people to develop this gift. And so in the future, oh, I hate, you don't know what you're asking, Lord. I hate photos. You know, you always think you're not this size. And the photos aren't very generous when they do it. It's like, do you have a lens on there that you can make me look like 50 pounds lighter? I would like that. I'm waiting for those magic cameras, you know. Rather than the ones that put on weight on you, I want the ones that will do the other. So what is up with that? Somebody could sell that version. But anyway, this is what I want to write for you today. My simple artwork illustration. We'll move her for a second. The Lord says this. He says, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. He is the beholder. Okay? The beholder is the Lord, and he thinks that you're beautiful. And yes, men, he thinks you're beautiful. So, this is what he tells you today. Be you to full. Honestly, if you don't get this, you haven't gotten anything out of my class. Because be you to full. He wants you to be you. You have got to know that you are so greatly loved and let him pour into you and how much he has chosen you to do the job. And you can't be you, be beautiful until you see that he's wanting to work through you. And then this. Hard to believe I made a living painting signs, isn't it? Be your own kind of beautiful if you can't read my writing. Be your own kind of beautiful. You might as well be yourself, people, because everybody else is taken. That shouldn't be a shocker. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop. I mean, yes, we get encouraged and we love listening, you know, to people and do things. And you say, but don't go home and say, oh, I wish I was like them. What a sad thing. The Lord is sitting there saying, but you don't know what I've packaged. You don't know the gifting that I have within you. And you can be that beautiful only in a unique way, because beauty is not perfection. It's originality, confidence, and character. There is a saying out there that somebody said beauty is not perfection, and the Lord just expounded that. Beauty is not perfection. It is originality, confidence, and character. And Lord is talking about originality today. That's what he's wanting me to emphasize today. He woke me up whispering in my ear, and I heard the reference 2 Corinthians 1:20 and 22. For all the promises of God are in him, are yes and amen. To the glory of God through us. Now he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You have been validated. You have already been given the approval by the Holy Spirit. That seal validates you to move from the talent to the supernatural. That seal, he validates you. You are validated today. You are validated to be that dynamic woman that you are called to be. You are validated in your intercessory prayer, but you're also validated in your prophetic word that takes people who live in doubt and makes them leaders. You understand? You're validated to work and flow and move. You're validated to be a teacher. You're validated to be a counselor. You're validated to speak into the people that you love dearly and let that one profound statement just move in their life. You're validated today. You're validated today. So after reading that scripture, he gave me this. You can't be beautiful. Be you until you're full. So, and this is what he means by that. You can't be beautiful until you recognize him with inside of you, because we all know how we do with our faults. Of course, we know that he makes us beautiful. But what you don't know is you are beautiful. So you have to allow him to pour into you and what he's saying to you directly and how he wants to use you in the profound way. So be you until you're full of the Holy Spirit so much. And that's when you flow. That's really when you become beautiful. Be you until you're full. That is true beauty. So let's go to Romans 12. If you don't mind playing that again, and then I'll have you pause it, and I'm going to talk about the individual gifts a little bit. And there are many gifts in the Word, by the way, and I chose this one just because it is easily understood and it easily goes with the personalities. Okay, stop right there. You are uniquely gifted, Romans 12 says, in his grace, and it's grace. It literally translates grace. That word charismata, the root word charis in the Greek, is the word grace. It's literally grace gifts, the charismata word. So in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Romans 12 teaches us that the gifts is called charismata. In the Greek, it means divine. you know, divine gifts. So go on from the next phrase till we get to the prophetic part, the bottom half of that art. So you can pause it right there. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak it out with as much faith that God has given you. And other translations translate it a little different. They say, don't prophesy only according to your faith. That's kind of a warning, but it's also a blessing. Because he wants you to come to him first. Because really what prophecy is basically just getting in line with what he's already saying from the throne room. And when you hear what he's already saying, amazing things can happen. Amazing things can happen when you come in alignment and agreement in your prayer and your prophecy and over your children and over your families and over anybody that's around you just by individually praying. You know, so when you prophesy, be careful about those words. You speak it according to your faith, but take the time to go to Daddy, to Abba, who is personal, who is right there to show you exactly what he wants you to do, to show exactly. And he doesn't speak to us all the same. He speaks to us differently. And I feel like I'm talking to seasoned Christians. Are there any baby Christians in the house? There's two. Okay. You know what? How many years? Okay, that's good.
My whole life I've been on and off arguing, fighting against, accepting.
Yeah, yeah. That's war. That's the world we live in. The learning the voices of the enemy and the voices of God. He trains us up to hear. And that's why it's important that you get into a church that actually encourages hearing the Spirit of God. Because the world will tell you that you're crazy if you think you hear God. But I'm telling you, as a Christian, it will set you free. It will set you free. So there are different ways that God speaks. And the reason why you feel like baby Christians, probably because you've been in a battle that you were not so aware of, you know, that you have actually fallen prey to thinking that some of the thoughts that were, you know, given spiritually were all yours. And I'm telling you that those thoughts were not yours. That was the spirit of doubt that I was talking about earlier that keeps you from the one who tells you who you really are. So really that was the voice that kept you. Yeah, you understand? But he is faithful. He's come to give us life more abundantly. He's come to teach us and develop us and take us into places. And now you're here and you're hungry. You're hungry to know that there is more, that there is greater, and that Daddy wants to use you individually. And so you're going to delve deeper, and you're going to dive deeper, and you're going to go further. And as you begin to know that you are purposed, that you are called, and you're, when I go down through this list, you're going to feel the ones that you feel like you move in, you know, and you're going to begin to say, hey, Lord, can you use me? And of course, his answer is, I've been waiting. yeah, that's right. That's right. I've been waiting. And you don't have to wait. Actually, like I said, it's for the present. Don't wait till you're super mature. Oh my goodness, if I waited till I was a Nancy, I'd never do anything. You understand what I'm saying? I'd have never picked up anything, done anything. So you have to start where you are. You have to start where you are. So if you are prophetically gifted, take that warning. Speak it out, but keep it in the faith that God has given you. All right? And as much faith as he gives you, because, hello, faith comes from God. To each man he has given a portion of faith. You know, Romans teaches us. So every one of us has faith. Let him develop it in you. You don't develop faith. He develops it in you. It's a gift from him. So only his presence, only hearing his voice, you know, will develop that. So when I say hearing, it's a spiritual hearing. It's not an audible hearing. There are different ways that he hears. And actually, I wrote a book that teaches different ways that God, if you don't have my book, you're welcome to get it. This is a book on a revelation that the Lord just sent me through dream after dream after dream that he shook me up. He shook me up because he was giving me too much at once, and it took me 2 years to write. Took me 2 years to write, and I think maybe longer, but anyway, it's basically telling you that you are an ambassador with an eternal purpose. God has chose you to live in this hour, this day, and this time frame. He has a plan, and it's birthed right out of his atmosphere. He created something so magnificent that you may become a part of his solution to bring heaven to earth. So listen as he calls you closer, past the veil of everyday life. And I go in to talk about personalities and gifting. So, and how he speaks differently, because the prophetic word is a seer. There's seers, there's hearers, there's people who are like a spirit of might, that carry the spirit of might personality, and they get a gut instinct. You see that in detective people. You see that in your police workforce. You know the gut instinct that men really work in. I see men working in the gut instinct a lot, actually. They don't know why they know something. They just know it in their gut. You understand? So not everybody hears the same either, and this book will kind of break it apart for you. Now, you have to understand one thing. I'm not a writer. There are mistakes in here. I try to edit, but there are still a few mistakes in there. It's okay. It humbles me. I'm not perfect. Don't wait for perfection. Beauty is not perfection. Remember. So just, this was the hardest thing I've ever done. Because I had to lay out there exactly how God was speaking to me. And people, I have family, you know, that could take repercussions. I have a business of 56,000 followers on Facebook that could take repercussions, you understand. I have a big store in the middle of a Grand Central Mall in Parkersburg, West Virginia. This was hard for me, but Daddy said, write it. And so I wrote it, and it's not perfect. But my prayer is that it helps you understand it is my gift to you today if you want it. It's over here. So I don't know how many I have. And whose birthday was in May? I'm going to give it to this gentleman. This is my first iPad. In my generation, I take a little longer to get up to dated. when I got an iPad, I got one that I could draw on and write on, because I'm going to do digital stuff and do YouTube stuff now, and how Daddy's calling me to do that. So this is the first thing that I did on my iPad. I did the clouds, and it's a digital, drawing with an Apple Pen that I did. And this isn't quality paper. I do apologize, because I just got my printer and I haven't gotten the good. I haven't gotten the good paper yet. It's not professional. It is actually a dollar store frame. So I'm confessing to you. But I pray that that would be an encouragement to you. It is. That is right. Yeah. The quality will improve, but that is your gift, your personal gift. Yeah, that's fine. And but anyway, he has several messages prepackaged, within each of us that he can use us in, and how he uses it is different. And so let's go to the next one. So that's a prophetic thing, when timing prophetically. We're talking about the prophetic and the differences of gifting. And you can pause it right there. This one is not my grandson, but he was just so cute, I had to use him, This is the gift of ministration, and a lot of the translations translate this as the gift of service. But really what ministration was, when you go back and look that up, it was the ones who were like workers of the temple. They were the temple guards and the things like that. They were in service. It was like a service personality. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so that's what that's talking about right there. And that's why I chose that little guy on purpose, because he's in uniform. Okay, I wanted you to get the mental picture of who he is. He is one that lays down his life for the leadership that he's serving under. And so when somebody says to me this year, are you going to vote? Because it's like, well, there's no option. I said, you better believe I'm going to vote, because people laid down their lives so I could vote. We had women who couldn't vote for years and years until it hasn't been that long, people, the women's suffrage. Of course I will vote. I'm sorry that we don't have a better option, but you better get out there and vote. So that's my plug. Ask the Lord to lead you. But I will tell you that the fix is not going to be in the one person that's in the high political thing. The fix will be in the church who finally stands up and works and functions as a unit. So, yeah. But anyway, this guy and this personality is the one that moves in gut form. He reacts because Holy Spirit just knows that he knows. He doesn't know why he knows, but he knows from that gut instinct. And so he volunteers his life. He lays down his life because he's got loved ones here in America. And so when 911 hit, my son goes and joins up, you know. And mommy's sitting at home like, you want to do what? Yeah? You want to go fight the war on terror? And not only that, he wanted to become a Marine, which isn't real safe. You know, that's the smallest group we have. And so I'm thinking, oh, angels, calling angels from heaven. You know, I'm just asking the Lord for protection. I'm thinking, help me go through this. And then he announces that, Mom, I don't want to do the general things and stay on base where everybody is when I go overseas. I want to speak Arabic. And when you speak Arabic, guess what? You aren't sitting behind, you're on the front line translating to the generals. And so that's where he went. He learned Arabic within a year. Most people fail the class within the first month. I would just, you know, extremely proud of him. And he didn't come back the same, though. You know, he's still struggling. So in that, God has packaged him. And even though he struggles, and even though there's difficulties, I am still so proud of my son, Nathan. So proud. So, that is the gift of service. And in my book, I go back to Isaiah 11 with the Spirit of Might. Nancy's telling you about the angels that carry that title as well. I believe it's a portion of God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit has portions, by the way. He can give you revelation till out the yin-yang, and you would still never understand how deep the Holy Spirit is. I mean, even when I wrote that book, I knew that I only had a tidbit of who this person really is. And so even writing the book and trying to explain what was coming through dreams to me, it was just a portion of really who he is. But there's also angels, you know, that take that that spirit of the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of might, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of knowledge. So anyway, going on to the next one. Okay, teacher, you can pause it right there. This little guy is baby genius. He's supposed to be portraying baby genius. He's born and can read at a very young age. So we watercolored that on another program that I have and put it up because I'm afraid to use the images off the internet without changing them because I just don't want to offend anybody, you know. So I have to change the image up. But anyway, that's who he is. He's saying that at any age you can be a teacher. At any age, really. I mean, this is what I want you to know. If the teacher gift is in you, it is really instilled within you. All the gifts are. If you're a server, you're a server from little, you know. You just want to do what that person that you're looking up to wants you to do. You know, you're in service to that leadership. And that's who you were. And that's who you are. And the same way with the teacher. The teacher, you know, comes in and they help you get into function. That's what the teacher does. And the teaching gift is also the counseling gift in the spiritual realm. Those two are one and the same. They are also the counseling gifts, and that's why you see so many teachers. They start out teaching and they end up being in the counseling position in the school systems, because that's really, it's one and the same. A lot of teacher counselors out there, and I didn't know that until the Lord broke that wide open for me. So I thought I would share it. I go into depth more in the book. So you can go to the next one. If your gift is to encourage, you can pause it. These are my grandsons. This is Nathan and Rylan. They are in the new world where if mommy says, hey, say cheese, you know, then they know to stop whatever they're doing. It didn't matter if he's in the middle of, you know, and doing whatever with brother. I actually took that picture, but they're used to posing. We've got adorable pictures with them in it. But Owen is the littlest guy, and Rylan is there. But he is an encourager even from way little. He will come in and just encourage you. He could speak. This little guy was gifted. He could say Baba at 3 months old. And he actually is very gifted in communication. Everybody thinks he's older than he is, even though he's little, because he talks so well. He just comes in. He remembers people's names. He has the gift of encouragement. He will come in and just, you know, chat at three. So, but anyway, encouraging. If that is your gift, that is a major gift. I mean, because people don't know they need this until the encourager is there. And then you'll see that the one thriving, this encourager, is the guy who will just go out of their way to make other people feel good. It's really your, you know, your evangelistic personality that is dynamic, you know, that will go out there and encourage people. And then they go out there and they bring people in. And so that's why people flock to them. That's why they're the ones who are getting people saved, because they have that natural charisma, that natural God-given ability for the encouragement. So that one is very profound. If you are an encourager, you are also an evangelistic gifting, okay? And this one is, if it is imparting, and a lot of translations I put in parentheses say giving, then give. Now, I have heard whole sermons on there's a gift of giving. But if you go back and look this up, I don't think writing a paycheck on Sunday morning was what God had in mind. I mean, come on. The people who make the living, who have the brains, yes, they do make the higher earning, but they are not going to get off that cheap by coming in and just writing a check on Sunday morning. They have something to literally impart when it comes to moving from the natural to the supernatural. So really, when you look up imparting and giving, it really meant imparting. They were the ones of the earlier church that would probably be the organizers. They would be the ones who would know the percentages of what came in. They'd be the ones, because see, when they first started meeting, after, you know, the apostles and all that, they would just come and they would give all their offerings into one community. It was like a communal type thing. And as people needed stuff, they would sell their homes and you know, give it out. And so this type of personality would have been in charge of maintaining who got what. So you're talking about a higher intelligence normally. You're talking about somebody who makes the bigger bucks, your scientists, your scientific mind type thinkers, your DNA, the genealogy is something different. Thank you. It wasn't coming to me. The geneticists. So in all those people, but that is truly a gifting. And so if this is your gift, then be generous in this gift. It is not just meant for them. That high intelligence was not given for them alone. It was given for them to impart into other things. So they work on a greater knowledge. They work in the spirit of knowledge. And so when you have that gifting, if you're really working on a higher intelligence, it is actually harder for them to move from the talents to the supernatural, because they are so used to going into study, you know, figuring out what to do, and somebody has come up and put them in the position where they're constantly having to do formulas and, you know, whatever else. So anyway, it's really tough for them. So show them mercy is what I'm saying, because show them mercy if they are the higher intelligent people, because they don't know what's packaged in them, and socially it's harder for them, and they don't get the spiritual aspect. You know, it's really tough. So you really want to pray for them a little bit more if you've got a personality in your family that carries this attribute, because the Lord can get them. Because I am a firm believer that every science leads to God. I've seen it happen in many, many lives. Every science leads to God, and I have never been afraid of science. I eat it up. I eat it up because God says he's in all of creation. And if they look hard enough and deep enough, I guarantee you they'll find him. And when they do find him, they have to make a choice. Well, do I believe, you know, what, you know, the scientific society is saying, and you know, or do I know that faith is actually there? But it hits them all. But in, yeah. So anyway, do we lose Tim? Oh, you're doing. I got a new person. Great. You can go. Just push it on pause. All right. This one I love. You got the duck out there in the front with the many, many ducks following. Honestly, we're all leaders. We just don't know it. God wants to make every one of us leaders. And you may not be in the position of leadership. And I would say you probably aren't going to be a good leader unless you set under leadership. So if you've not been respectful of leadership, you'll never make it being a leader. You'll never get exalted to that. You have to be underneath them first and be in it. But there's also leadership of being the older sister. There's also leadership of being the older brother. There's leadership of being the uncle. There's leadership of being the aunt. There's leadership to being the father. There's leadership to being whoever you're in. If you're in management at work or something like that, all this is leadership. See, so he knows that in society, in our community, in our common unity, that he wants to function through you in leadership. So, first of all, submit to leadership, work under leadership, and then you will be exalted and go further up. And he tests you on this. You won't really promote to that pastoral position or that management position well unless you serve well. Okay? So that's a warning in that one. All right. Lead diligently. And this is serving. Again, my grandsons. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. So a lot of the serving, we think of hospitality, and I talked about our host home and everything. We talk about that, you know, in church and everything. They're the persons that, they'll see the need that needs to be done, and they'll come in and do it. My husband is amazingly gifted in serving. He's not happy unless he's serving somebody. Literally, what makes him happy is serving somebody. So this personality is like that. They have already figured out the spiritual law that you receive, you give, you know, by giving, you know. So that is a spiritual law in action. But the serving should be in every one of us too. And that's why I was talking about leadership and serving together, because serving is something that we have to know. And you may not be super gifted in the service part, in the hospitality part, but you may be gifted in the medical field, and that's why I chose that picture of the kids, because your servers and your nurses and your people who serve in community is the same gifting. It's the same gifting. And I guess what I want you to do is appreciate who your medical people are, because we went through a time period in the church where we made that healing with our science was secondhand healing. And I don't believe God thinks that. I don't believe there is that surgery is a secondhand healing. That is a God-given talent and a God-given healing. And so I think we've done our people wrong who are the nurses and who are the doctors and who are the physicians of the church, because they've been made to feel like it's a secondhand healing. And it is a divine function and it is a divine order that they work in. And if they get both, if they move and transition, have you ever seen a doctor that has figured out that he has a gifting and it's okay to use his gifting and then move into the supernatural at the same way? Are they not the most dynamic people you've ever seen? They are. And so that's what happens. They have a harder time transitioning because we went through a time period where we were almost unknowingly teaching that it was a secondhand healing. So that's the warning I want to give you there. Appreciate your medical field. Appreciate your people, because they're really a gift as well, besides the hospitality. You are uniquely gifted. That's a program that my daughter got. It would match you up with cartoon people, and I thought, how could you get any closer than that? But anyway, that's the way God looks at you too. You know, he just has fun. You know, you are his children. He actually enjoys your presence. He actually enjoys who you are. He enjoys the you and beautiful. He thinks you're beautiful. He enjoys the you and beautiful. So be your own kind of beautiful. Be you until you're full. And that's the message today.
Awesome.
All right. If anybody has any questions, you're welcome to ask me. I may not have the perfect answer, but I'll do the best I can. Is there any questions? Yeah.
I didn't get the verse.
Okay, for which one?
The very beginning, when you were doing the beautiful.
Oh, okay. The one that the Lord woke me up on, I'll see if I can...
2 Corinthians 1:20-22.
Yes, thank you very much. What good note taker, that is it. 2 Corinthians 1:20-22. For all the promises of God in him are yes. Are yes and amen. Are yes and amen. He says he celebrates the you in you. All the promises are for you, and he celebrates that within you. They're yes and amen. You got to know that, number one. And the glory of God, that's 2 Corinthians 1:20-22. To the glory of God through us, through us. And, you know, we just heard a sermon the other day, and he brought out 1 Corinthians 3:9 that kind of goes through with this scripture. So write that one down too. 1 Corinthians 3:9 just basically says you're co-laborers with Christ. You are co-laborers with Christ. Co-laborers with Christ. So take you out of the picture. You know.
As I'm studying, mm-hmm. I'm really more spirit than the soul and the
mm-hmm.
And that's what he wants to do as a parent. So it's coming to me that with these giftings, there'll be such a completion and joy as we allow those to mature in our life. It will be such a fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? I mean, we don't know how true that is. Without joy, you really can't perform well. I mean, take depression. You've seen people in depression. That's joy completely stolen from them. Okay? Without joy, you don't function. So we know that's the strength. But anybody else have a comment? Mm-hmm.
Actually recently mm-hmm. handed a packet.
I know.
It was this thick, and I thought.
Yes, yes, yeah.
But even things I had learned in the field, yeah. Psychology,
right, exactly.
It's like it messes me up in some
uh-huh.
areas.
It confuses them more. And so when I was writing my book, I started writing this personality list of so they could pick which one that they were, you know, like everybody does. You got 36 pages of personality that you're picking of what you are or what you think you are and everything. And the Lord says, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm making my personality list so they can know who they are and the giftings and so how they know how to, they know who they are talented and they know who they are. And he says, no, I didn't tell you to do that.
Amen.
I didn't tell you to do that. He told me that if you want to know the giftings is my last chapter. If you really want to know the giftings that is within you, just go back to the day and the moment that you realized that he was who he was and you got saved. Go back to that moment. And the gift that you started working in and functioning in and that thing right there, that's what your giftings are. And that's how simple it is. When you were first saved, when you were first saved, and I have a chapter actually in it, I tell you to write out your testimony because I want you to remember. Some of them began to witness to their friends. Okay? Some of them began to serve. When somebody got saved, they went to the administration and they said, how can I serve you? That's the service people. You understand? So what happened when you first got saved is your major talent, is your major gifting. And there's, you have more than one, by the way. When you go through this list and the list of gifting, you know that you have more, because that's just like Daddy. He gives us choices. He gives us choices. He's given you several to pick from. And which one do you want to lead? And creativity, I could have grabbed a guitar and wrote songs, and I did for a while until I started getting carpal tunnel deals, and then I realized this is not going to work for me, being the mother of three toddlers. I had three babies in 3 years, so it wasn't working for me, so I had to lay that down, and I wanted to be a stay-at-home mother. So that's how a work of heart got birthed, because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mother, and Daddy had to train me in something that I could do, you know, which birthed a work of heart. Absolutely. It's not a secondhand healing. It's a God-given healing. Yeah,
it
is a beautiful thing. Yeah,
the only healer.
And he puts that gift in them. That's why they're in the position they're at. Already instilled. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
What about when multiple gifts go to the forefront at different
times?
Well,
see, no. No. Yes. If you're right. Yes. I'd say you get with the Lord on that, because he does want to develop them within you. So however he wants to develop them, if he wants to develop all three at once, that's awesome. If he wants to concentrate on one for a time, like he's concentrating on the creativity, he's got me concentrating on art right now, because the testimony behind, I mean, you just heard one testimony today. There's testimonies everywhere I go from the art that I have. And that's true as well, exactly. And I will tell you this too, if the need arises, an anointing will hit you, and you may flow in a gift that you don't even think is yours, that you don't even think, and that may not be a gifting that, you know, is natural to you, but the Lord will use you in it. And that's why you have people that can prophesy that don't necessarily have, you know, the function of that generally. But you can. So don't put a God in a box on these gift things. Allow him to work through you however he wants. And I'll tell you, whatever you find joy in doing, that's the one. That's the one he's going to develop. Because he celebrates with you on developing these gifts. He celebrates with you. So whatever you really like to do, you know, eagerly desire the gifts. Eagerly desire. So, and if you want something that somebody else carries, ask him. He tells us to ask for wisdom, you know. Ask. Start flowing. Be receptive. Anybody else? Thank you for coming to my class. Yeah. That's the joy of this thing, you know. It's little, it's personal, you get to meet people, and the joy.